welcome to the second hour of Jason and Alexis in the Morning on this Friday, April 26, 2024. Jace with Lex and Holly. Coming up in just a little bit, Emma Stone wants to clear something up, and she has a simple request. And then Holly's going to play the role of Charlton Heston, but it won't be a rifle that you're going to have to pull from her cold, dead hands. Nope. Something else.
Ooh.
Yeah. It's all coming up. But first, what's Emma Stone's request, Lex?
Okay, so she's out promoting The Curse with Nathan Fielder, if you like. What was his show called, Holly? You watched
Nathan
it too?
For You.
Nathan For You. Yes, if you love that show, which is hilarious and quirky. He's in this with Emma. The Curse is what it's called. They were talking to the Hollywood Reporter, and Nathan called Emma Stone Emily, which brilliantly the publication asked, hey, wait, Emily? She says, yeah, that's my real name. And actually, I really would like people to start calling me my real name. She's Emily Stone.
Oh.
Now, at the time when she joined SAG, there was already an Emily Stone.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And yeah, already working. And she thought, okay, well, I'll just be Emma Stone. That's fine. But she's now saying, I'd like to be Emily. So there you go.
And I bet everybody in her life calls her Emily.
They do. Exactly. Oh, that's okay. What they're saying. Yeah. Yep. She said, yep, that's my real name. And there you go. She was inspired by Baby Spice, Emma Bunton.
Oh, why?
There you go. Well, because it's Emma.
Oh, Emma.
That was the first time she had heard. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I didn't know if she was inspired to like reveal what her real name. Okay, got it. Emma Bunton. Yeah.
Because Emma and then Emma Stone, she thought, oh, okay, well, that's really cool. And she loved Spice Girls, just like all of us did.
Mm-hmm. Well, good luck with that. Because you're never going to retrain the public. You're never. But people in her orbit. I mean, maybe obviously they don't need to be retrained. They already call her Emily. So,
well, now here's the fun fact: is when we meet Emma Stone, then you just call her Emily, and you're Emily. Like, "Hey, we know, we heard you, we listened to you.
Yeah,
let's be friends."
So that would be fun. If you ever interview her, or anyone out there, call her Emily. You'll probably make an instant friend with her. Mm-hmm. Well, she's in a clearing up tour because she cleared that up, and then she also cleared up, and it's a lesson. It's a lesson for us all, especially in the job that we do. This is the second time somebody from the Oscars that BuzzFeed and the internet said was mad at the Oscars actually wasn't mad at the Oscars. First, we had Robert Downey Jr. Remember right after the ceremony, everyone thought that Robert Downey Jr. was offended at Jimmy Kimmel's jokes.
Mm-hmm.
Then Robert Downey Jr. said, no, I was not. I love Jimmy.
Yep.
And now number two, Emma Stone, she got caught up in that after the cameraman took a reaction shot of her after Jimmy had done a joke about her movie. And the internet speculated that Emma Stone had called Jimmy prickly without the L-Y. And she is now saying that that's not what she said. She likes Jimmy and she wasn't offended at all. She thought Jimmy did a good job. So stop it.
Ridiculous. Everybody knows if you're in the biz, you know what that is.
Yeah, and there are some people with no sense of humor, but yeah, oh, she wasn't one of them. Yeah.
And to also just say, look, your name is coming out of my name is coming out of your mouth. Very good.
Mm-hmm.
This is good.
Yeah, also when you're at the Oscars or any kind of award ceremony, I think it's light roasting is going to be happening.
Yeah.
A light roast is going to happen at these things. And I was surprised when the Oscars happened and during those telecasts that BuzzFeed and other places took that position. I thought it was pretty clear that these people were kind of playing along because both Robert Downey Jr. and Emma Stone are comedians as well as dramatic actors.
Yes.
They know timing. They know how to get a reaction and how to play off of things.
I'm sure you give a little heads up, don't you, too? Because the cameras were ready to go.
Oh, yeah.
Well, also, Robert Downey Jr.'s jabs were a little sharper, but the jab concerning Emma Stone in her movie was so ridiculous and light. Jimmy made a joke about the amount of nudity and sex in that movie, and every comedian had made that comment.
Yeah, because there's a lot of it. facts. So
I did find it odd that Emma was so precious about it. I'm like, Emma, I get that you don't like that people are, because she did say in an interview she didn't like that the focus was so much on the nudity. I get that. If you're in the project, you want them to, okay, whatever. But I did find it odd at the time that she'd be so precious about it. Well, now this explains it. She's not that precious about it. So, so Emily, good for you.
Emily Stone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Charlton Heston once famously said, it was, I think, during an NRA speech, you can pry this from my cold, dead hands. Holly, you're kind of quoting the late, great Charlton Heston here. What's going on?
Oh, well, came across this article yesterday that was making fun of millennials for using LOL in text messages. LOL. Laugh out loud. Oh. Apparently, if you're using LOL when you're texting, that means you're old and crusty.
Yes, and? Okay.
And I say, get your paws off my LOL. You darn dirty Gen Zers, judge me all you want.
Well, what are they doing now? If it's not LOL, what is it?
They don't use...
smiley face? Are they emojiing still?
No, I don't, you know. Also, you get judged if you used emojis too much.
What?
Yeah,
was it a ha 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 ha?
Yes, I think that the ha 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 is the preferred methodology.
to which express. I hate. See, I think that's old. I don't like that.
Yeah. So, this was actually interesting because it was folks were talking. HuffPost was talking to a lot of linguists and language experts and how language evolves. But the use of LOL, particularly among millennials, you know, it's kind of a way to deflect and, you know, maybe soften some text messages and things that you say. And then there are certain things that are acts of hostility.
Mm.
You know, question mark is an act of hostility.
Oh, it is.
A period is an act of hostility.
You have to be careful with punctuation.
Yeah,
for
sure do. Now, the one act of hostility that I really am just like, ooh, that grinds my gears, and I'll say this, is when people use inappropriate ellipses in comments.
Mm.
Because what do you mean? Are you meaning dot, dot, dot? Are you trailing down? Are you judging?
Should it be a hyphen?
Should it? Yeah. A semicolon? I don't know.
Mm.
Ellipses freak me out. It leaves so much room for interpretation.
Oh, guilty. Sorry. I probably have offended you 4 million times because I use ellipses.
You do use ellipses a lot, Jace. Yeah.
Only because I don't mean to offend anybody. I do it because you ask any TV writer in TV news.
Yeah.
You use ellipses because in the teleprompter, not that you care.
Breathe.
But just explaining. Yeah. You don't write normally when you do TV writing.
Mm-mm.
In order to put pauses based on your what they call read style, you put two dot dots. You don't even do three because that tells the teleprompter that you're going to pause and it doesn't start a new line.
Mm.
I know it's very inside baseball, but so I've written like that for 27 years. So yeah, I do it for pausing purposes.
Yeah.
So.
But it's open to interpretation. You're doing it as a pause. The youth are like, well, what is going on?
Oh, okay, I'll
and
be careful
you use,
with the
you. And then
I'll
you use a lot of emojis. Don't worry about it. You be you.
Yeah.
Because this is a game you can't win. This is like the book that was in my grandma's bathroom growing up. Games you can't win. It was a blank sheet of paper, for example, and it was like, find the white dot. Games you can't win.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Meaning you text the way that you want. I'm going to keep my LOLs. You're going to keep your ellipses. And then goodness knows, if you want to use a question mark or a period, you go ahead and do that as well.
Yeah. Amen. That's right. Get lots of pandas from me.
That's right.
What does a panda mean?
Just love.
Oh.
Register to win prizes and listener rewards. Enter to win an aesthetic skincare bundle from Onegore Integrative Health, or get a catering package from Tazay Fresh Mediterranean, plus movie passes to an early screening of The Idea of You and more. See everything up for grabs at mytalk1071.com. or on the My Talk app. When we come back, wait till you hear what city in Minnesota is claiming. We have the Halloween capital of the world here in Minnesota. That's Anoka. But what's the restaurant capital of the world? I think the capital of Minnesota. You'll never believe this when we come back. Lex has that.
Who have sent a lot of panda love emojis to Julie, Brandon, Josh, and Joe, the professionals at Rebath Minneapolis who helped make our bathroom dreams come true. Yes, it's a small little bathroom, but you know what? I got to say, I love it. And they did a wonderful job with the remodel, with the design, listening to, wow, we need more storage. We've got a newborn. Oh, we've got the shower needs to be a certain way. Oh, by the way, we need to change the whole position of the toilet. And the venting is all whacked. They handled it all. That's what's so wonderful about working with Rebath. It's a one-stop shop. Julie and Brandon designed what we needed. Josh and Joe installed. They remove, replace, remodel. Took it all out and redid it in 5 days. So less stress, less time. You're never wondering, will the contractor come? None of that with Rebath. Make sure you mention me or my talk for $1,500 off a complete bathroom remodel. Sign up to have a designer come to you at rebath.com or stop into their showroom. It's in Apple Valley on Galaxy Avenue.
Hi, everybody. This is Adriana Trigiani. I'm the host of You Are What You Read. I have the privilege of interviewing luminaries of our times about the books that shaped them from childhood until now. We get everybody from Sarah Jessica Parker to Kristen Hanna, Mitch Albom, Susie Essman, Craig Ferguson, Rainn Wilson, Amor Towles, you name it, they come, they share. New episodes of You Are What You Read drop every Tuesday on Apple, Spotify, or any major streaming platform wherever you listen to your podcasts.
And now on Jason and Alexis in the Morning, a message from our sponsor.
From like the 70s or 80s.
Friday on the Dukes, Luke turns loco.
I'm just starting to realize what a joke this whole town is.
What makes this good old boy bad news? And on Dallas, while Bobby confronts blindness.
If you really love him, stay out of his life.
No one is above suspicion.
Do you really think that I tried to shoot you, Jay?
Did you?
Then, on Falcon Crest.
You are working for me now.
As Angela forms a dangerous new alliance.
Please, I'm in mourning still, remember?
An old relationship heats up Friday.
This has been a Jason and Alexis classic commercial. We now return you to our regularly scheduled mediocre radio show.
All these old TV commercials are leading to our Friday game. Name that TV tune. We're going to move it today just because there's so much to get to. Top of the third hour, so stay right there.
Oh, nice.
Right now, welcome back, Jason and Alexis in the Morning. We have the Anoka is the Halloween capital of the world, not just the state, but the Halloween capital of the world, according to my good friends in Anoka.
Mm-hmm.
And now another Minnesota city is claiming a similar title. What do we have?
That's right. So we have the restaurant capital of Minnesota, self-diagnosed, self-proclaimed Maple Grove. First thoughts?
I think.
What? A little John up in here.
Mm-hmm.
There's something squirrely around here.
Now
this is absolutely ridiculous.
Ellipses would be appropriate in the text message response.
I'll send one right after the break.
Okay, great.
I'll send one right after the break.
Well, it's quite a bold statement from Maple Grove.
Yeah.
To say restaurant capital of Minnesota. When I think of Maple Grove, and I go there for family fun, but I think of chain restaurants.
Mm-hmm. And there's nothing wrong with that.
No. No.
But
there's a whole row. They're even saying Restaurant Row, Chipotle, Cold Stone, Panda Express. They're along that row. They have nearly 150 restaurants. So, yes, it does. I mean, in terms of quantity, for sure. But
yeah.
what are the criteria for being restaurant capital of Minnesota?
Not that you're asking, but to me.
Oh, I just asked you.
But to me, it would be a good mix. Like if I was to give that title to a town, or not just in Minnesota, but just anywhere.
Yeah.
Not only would it be quantity, which I don't think anyone could argue, Maple Grove, if it's not number one, it's absolutely top five in the metro. But if I'm giving it if I'm giving the title restaurant capital of the world, you also have to include a good mix of restaurants and not just your Red Lobsters and your PF Chang's, but you got to throw in some great independent restaurants. You got to throw in some mom and pop diners. You got to throw, you know what? You got to have a variety and from different tastes. You got to have a lot. You got to have some Thai and you got to have maybe an Ethiopian restaurant up on Lars and an Italian and Mexican.
What was that again?
Italian. But I don't know. Maple Grove. I don't know. I do know. You got people talking, though, Maple Grove.
That's true.
I will give the city that.
Which ones do you think would we maybe define as more of a capital? I'm thinking bigger cities.
Yeah.
Would Minneapolis be considered one? Or are we talking, do we need a nitty gritty down to North Loop? Or how about Wayzata?
Wayzata's really good. And the Groove is great, too. But it's just a lot of change. If they're talking strictly quantity, then probably. As far as suburbs are concerned.
Yeah.
It's apples to oranges. You really can't compare like Minneapolis to Anoka. That's not fair.
It isn't fair. Mm. And then there's Malone's Bar and Grill. That is locally owned and operated in Maple Grove.
Yeah.
So.
That's great.
Yeah, I was just trying to think of other ones that might be. But yeah, otherwise, I do think of drive-thrus and chain restaurants.
And Pittsburgh Blue. It's a local chain, part of a local chain company.
Uh-huh.
But it's still local.
That's true.
Look, as you said, and I'll say it too at the end of this, so people don't get the wrong impression.
Yeah.
We're not hating on the Groove. I was quite literally there a week ago today. Colin and I wanted to do something different. We had a night before the puppy came back to us. So we had a date night and we had a cocktail at Pittsburgh Blue. And then we went to Benihana Girl and had the yum yum sauce. And I love the Maple Grove. Yeah. I hadn't been there in a long time.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It's just, I don't think it's accurate.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, so. Maple Grove proclaimed restaurant capital of Minnesota.
I appreciate them willing it into being, just naming it, claiming it.
Yeah. Sure.
And that this trying is what we're going to be.
Yeah. I'm trying. Look, you do you, Maple Grove. We still love you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We still love you.
Got to get out there. We're talking about Maple Grove.
So. That's right.
That's right. When we come back, Jennifer Aniston makes a big announcement that at first you would think that this show in particular might not like, but upon second examination, the idea has merits. What is that idea from Rachel? You'll find out. Hey, it's Jason for Skin Rejuvenation Clinic. If you head to my Instagram right now, you will see a conversation that I had with Colin about Botox. Because Botox and Dysport, which is just another brand, by the way, of injectable. Botox is a brand. Dysport is a brand. They're both on sale. I'll tell you about that in a minute. But I had this conversation with Colin because Colin is a Botox believer. He has suffered with excessive sweating for years. It was something that was really kind of socially debilitating. It's embarrassing. To be blunt, you pit out, you ruin shirts. You're embarrassed to move sometimes because you don't want to show. Well, underarm Botox can change your life. That's not hyperbole. It's true. Colin's been a lot happier with clothes since then. And right now you can save money on Botox and Dysport at Skin Rejuvenation Clinic through the end of the month. So follow me at Jason Matheson and get that deal. Welcome back. Jason and Alexis in the morning. We were just talking about the Metro a few minutes ago. Speaking of the Metro, if you're like B, let me just say it this way. B. Arthur is going to have a little less disposable income. Find out why. Alexis will have that in a little bit. But right now, welcome back, Jason and Alexis in the morning. Now, if you would have told us this next story with different people involved, we probably would have had a different reaction. And I don't want to speak for Alexis and Holly, but I think I know what they're going to think of this. But Jennifer Aniston made an announcement yesterday with Disney and 20th Century Studios that Jennifer Aniston is going to produce a remake of 9 to 5.
Okay.
Now let that sink in.
Huh.
And if you're not sure about that,
who's that?
Let me add one more layer to the cake.
All right. Do we know we need to be casting?
That's sealed. No casting.
Okay.
But the other half of this sealed the deal for me.
Okay.
Diablo Cody is working with Jen on the script.
Oh, okay.
I'm down with this.
I'm definitely more interested once Diablo's on the project and who they want to, because the chemistry of the team there really matters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So who are they thinking? Would she star in it as well?
Doesn't know yet.
Huh.
Right now, it's just her production company.
I love it. Yeah.
And her production company, Ahali U.
Yeah, totally down with it now that Diablo Cody is writing the screenplay.
Yeah. You
know, won an Oscar for Juno, has written Jennifer's Body. Lisa Frankenstein was her most recent movie, which I think is streaming right now. I'm kind of interested in seeing that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And a 9-to-5 update? Think about how the work world has changed.
A post Me Too.
Post, oh, yes.
It's right for redoing. Usually, if you're going to redo something, there has to be a reason. This is good to be greenlit. There's enough examination to make a good plot. And with Diablo in charge and Jen's production company, which has, you know, Jen's production company has had some hits. She's mainly worked with Adam Sandler. I think she did that murder mystery with Adam. And then Dumplin', remember that Netflix movie? That was Jen Aniston's company.
Oh, right.
Yeah, with Dolly Parton. Her music, that was very cute.
Yeah. And look, 9-to-5, it's not so precious that it's only to be revered and not touched. 9-to-5 has had a life after the 1980 movie. It spawned a show with Rita Moreno that ran for 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
Went to syndication. Rita left the show after a few years, but then it was a Broadway musical. So it's been messed with.
Yeah. And all of them make cameos in some way. Mm-hmm. How fun would that be?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would love to see Lily Tomlin be Roz.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, God, that would be hysterical. The office snitch. Fun. Yeah.
Or if they're just in the background, you know, just as they're walking by. It's anything. They're at the picnic or, you know.
Mm-hmm. The company picnic, yeah. But we don't know anything. We don't know casting. Bob Iger greenlit it for 20th Century Studios because that's where it lives. That's Fox was its home studio.
Mm.
And we don't know when it's going to be released or any casting or anything. But this isn't the first time this has tried to happen. Jane Fonda herself, who was the executive producer of the original and obviously starred in it, Jane has tried for years to do a reboot and could never crack a script. Jada and Will Smith tried doing a redo.
Oh, they did?
About, I don't know if memory serves me right, probably a decade ago.
Mm.
They took a crack at it and nothing ever gained altitude. So
yeah.
The fact that Aniston and Disney and Fox felt okay to release this information tells me Diablo probably has some sort of nugget of a story that Disney has approved.
That delights,
yeah, that delights the big wig. So mm-hmm. I'm excited. So there we go.
Cool.
Yeah.
If B. Arthur is listening, she's not going to like this next story.
No.
Let's go back local. What's happening?
Yeah, Minneapolis approves a $15 minimum for cigarette packs, which is the highest in the United States.
Oh, it's the highest in the U.S.?
Yep, the highest government mandated minimum price for cigarettes in the nation after the Minneapolis City Council voted unanimously to approve this. Now, that's $15 before taxes.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, God. So we're looking. Oh, my mm-hmm. God. So nearly $20 a pack. That ain't a carton, girl.
No. It also sets minimum prices for cigars, pipe tobacco, chewing tobacco, and bans all discounts or coupons on those products as well. Now, I'm not a smoker, so I don't know. Yeah, I guess a pack of cigarettes. Have either of you bought a pack of cigarettes lately?
I'm going to mark myself down as a no on that.
Okay.
I've never purchased a pack of cigarettes in my life.
Okay, because this is no small thing.
I bought some for my mom. I bought some Misties for my mom.
Oh, do you remember the price of those, Jace?
Like $8.
Okay.
$8-$9, I believe.
Because right now, of course, before this all goes into effect, the highest retail price that you can find in the city for a package of cigarettes is $13.50. And now they can use coupons, which allows, of course, you know, discounts. So this is a big deal, $15. They're saying this will be a deterrent for especially younger people because it's the barrier's higher for to afford them.
Yeah.
But I'm wondering if it really will be.
It won't be.
Okay, yeah. So that's kind of what I'm thinking. And that means then that they'll find other places to buy them, which...
Yep.
You know, maybe other cities or into other states.
Yeah, because this is just in the city of Minneapolis.
This is just in Minneapolis.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I don't know if those in Minneapolis will feel the same way. I think smokers know smoking is bad, right? Like, they just don't, right? Or is that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay, so that addiction,
addiction
is so strong that sometimes the price tag doesn't matter.
No.
I mean, look at, well... Yeah.
They'll sacrifice
beyond cigarettes, other drugs, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, they'll find it other places. So,
because to be fair, they could charge me $50 for one vodka soda.
Oh, yeah,
probably.
And you'd still buy it.
Yeah, I'm just being fair. Mm-hmm. My vice isn't smoking, but it's, you know, I do like a cocktail from time to time. It's a little apples to oranges, but not really. But, yeah, I'm saying it's not a deterrent.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, that's what I was thinking. And will it also decrease the smoking in the city? No, because they'll probably buy them in just another city. And
look, it would be, I think, more obviously it would be if this was a state
tax
or something. Then it would be like, oh, Lord. Then people were, you know, going to Wisconsin.
Like,
yeah, they're driving to Wisconsin
the fireworks
to get their Misty Lights.
Alcohol on Sundays previously, before it was changed.
The cheese curds and the, you know, the sex gift shops.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Which there are a lot
And maybe for the young people. Oh, there's a lot of what?
Sex shops.
Yeah, you go on Interstate 94 in Wisconsin. Yeah.
Girl.
It's like, hey, if you're horny, they got you covered.
If you're horny and need some cigs, they got you.
Yeah, and you need some saturated fat with those cheese curds. What?
I'm not kidding. I could have gotten...
and some dip.
Yeah. On my way to get my puppy, I could have gotten 7-8 lap dances, you know?
Yeah.
On the way to Curtis, Minnesota, with two S's, or Wisconsin, two S's. I am no joke. I could have pulled over. I was with Lisa LaCourcier. I don't think she would have approved a lap dance, but maybe. She's sassy, but... I could have gotten realistically 4 or 5 lap dances on the way to the puppy. That's how many little, Joe's House of Love or, you know, those types of places.
Yeah, you didn't quite make it to Cruisin' Chubby's, Jason. That's more down in the Dells.
No, down there.
Yeah.
No, that's what they call me in a car, Cruisin' Chubby. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, this extra
tap,
money.
Tap on the bathroom floor.
Yeah. It's not, this is not a tax. It's just the retailer.
The retail,
just keep the extra money.
Right.
Yeah, good separation, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, have fun, B. Arthur. Guess you're not going to be smoking in Minneapolis. Sorry, B.
Yeah.
When we come back, are you a Harry Potter fan? Holly has good news for you.
And now on Jason and Alexis in the Morning, a message from our sponsor.
From, like, the 70s or 80s.
Tuesday, they're all new. Richie's finally getting married.
What are you so nervous about?
And thanks to Fonzie, it'll be a wedding day on Happy Days. Then,
howdy, girl.
When their old Sarge goes AWOL, Laverne and Shirley get in the act to save her. Then, on Three's Company, Jack kisses the wrong girl and has to fake dying to save his life. And I'm too close for comfort. Dad's fired, but he's got one hope left.
Mr. President?
This has been a Jason and Alexis Classic Commercial. We now return you to our regularly scheduled mediocre radio show.
All these classic TV commercials leading up to Name That TV Tune coming up at the top of our third hour. That is from ABC in 1981. What a hell of a lineup. That was that dominant Tuesday that killed basically every other network. Happy Days, Laverne and Shirley, Three's Company, and Too Close for Comfort. Wow. That's why ABC was number one back then. That was wow. All of those shows were huge hits, major hits.
Oh, that jiggle television.
That's right. Mm-hmm. I saw an old thing on that announcer that I love, that guy. That's Ernie Anderson. Director Paul Anderson's father, bringing it back to modern audiences. But that guy's name is Ernie Anderson. And talk about old school stuff, pulling back the curtain a little bit. I watched a recording studio with him. And he had to listen to our first, the bottom of our first hour, talked about Alexis doing a live commercial. Talk about doing live commercials. They used to have to record these. Ernie would have to get the timing just right. All of those clips of, we call them sound fulls or sots. When you hear, like, let me just play the very top of this here. But here we go.
Tuesday, they're all new. Richie's finally getting married.
What are you so nervous about?
Right there where Chachi says, what are you so nervous about? Ernie has to talk at just the right length before Chachi comes in, and then he has to shut up in order to get all of those little sound bites from the shows. He would have to speak at just the right length of time, or he would have to keep redoing the commercial, re-recording it over and over again. There was no post editing. He would read them live. Fascinating. If you watch those on YouTube, he would sit in a studio for hours and just
turns into a fun game.
Yeah.
Can I do it?
Can
especially
I do
like
it
in music radio before this, my college radio show, can I ramp before the song starts?
Mm. Yes. Yeah. Howard Stern talks about that all the time.
Yes. You don't want to step on him.
You don't
or when you're making
on...
your mixtapes, remember?
Yeah.
You want to just cut the DJ out and hit that play and record at the same time.
Yeah.
Make sure you get that song. And then at the very end, you're listening very carefully. When do I stop this?
You don't want to step on Chachi.
Nope.
You know, you don't want to.
Getting married.
Yeah, well, what are you so nervous about, Chachi?
Don't step on Scott Baio, please.
Don't step on Scott Baio. Good news for Harry Potter fans there, Holly.
If you're a Harry Potter fan, here's something from Audible and Pottermore Publishing that may delight you, and I think it will. All 7 original Harry Potter books are going to get the audiobook treatment in a brand new original 7 series Harry Potter story with all new voice talent.
Oh!
So these are going to premiere late next year. Each of the 7 English language books to be released sequentially all around the world. So we're talking book 1 through book 7. And we're getting full cast audio productions. That means that more than 100 actors are going to be involved in this new audiobook series of Harry Potter.
Wow.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Oh, that's what makes this. Okay.
Yes, it's not just, your grandpa sitting down and reading Harry Potter to you. No, they're promising that this is going to be an immersive audio entertainment through high-quality sound, Dolby Atmos, stunning scoring, so that means I think somebody's going to be putting some new music to this, a full range of character voices, and real-world sound capture.
Wow.
I got to tell you, Colin has wanted me to read the books, because I love Harry Potter, and I haven't. He's like, Jace, you should do the audiobooks. I would do this. This would bring me to the yard.
Because audiobooks exist, Jason, and you could listen to those right now. Now, the English language versions of the Harry Potter audiobooks feature Stephen Fry and Jim Dale as the narrators. Those were released back in 1999, and you could still listen to that, and they're wonderful and delightful. But the books are so textured. Now, it's the opposite for me, Jason. I've read the books. Yeah. I've only seen one Harry Potter movie.
Oh, fun fact. Mm-hmm. Really?
Yeah. So I've read all the books, 1 through 7, and then 7 was in 2 parts.
Yep.
But I've only seen all the way through the 3rd movie for sure. The Prisoner of Azkaban.
Mm.
I have seen a couple of the movies here and there. Or maybe I saw number 7 part 1. I don't remember. But
look,
I know I haven't seen all the movies.
If you're only going to see one, Azkaban is not a bad one to see.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good start.
Yeah.
And that was that's when it gets darker in the books, too. I've read all the books and seen all the movies, and I still would be interested in listening to the audio books.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, for that extra layer.
Exactly. Now, we don't have any details, much more than that this is going to be a project in the release date. So we don't have any casting. We don't have any production elements. We don't have anything right now. And but we also know that this is completely unrelated to the Warner Brothers television reboot that they've promised over on Max in the coming years. Because Max has decided, well, we want to make a TV version of all the Harry Potter books, all 8 books of the original series, and we're just starting from scratch again. But this has nothing to do with that.
Okay.
And I said it at the time, just like the 9 to 5 remake, there has to be a reason to do it, to redo it. I think, you know, with 9 to 5, the changing time is a good catalyst. I gotta say, the Harry Potter TV series doesn't bother me, even though the film franchise just wrapped up just a click and a half past a decade ago. Because I've heard from so many fans reading all the articles about the TV show, so many fans that were unhappy with things left off the movies, that the TV show can correct that and expand on that.
Oh, that's for exciting. Sure.
That's exciting to me as a fan of the movies. I want to see that.
Well, and Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone came out in 2001. I would just like everyone to sit with the fact that that was 23 years ago.
Oof.
Must we sit with that?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
So it's been a whole generational turnover since the first Harry
Potter.
Yeah,
you said turd.
Get out your dipes.
But turnover, yes. Turnover, yes. It has been.
And, you know, I think I have the same attitude with the Disney live action reboots, where there are these wonderful stories, and it's delightful to see new artists interpret these stories.
Yeah.
And what does it mean to tell these stories in the 2020s versus, you know, going back to sometimes the 1930s and 1940s? It's like, yeah, of course. Like, let's have artists put their spin on these.
I'm not, Holly, I'm so glad. We haven't talked about that recently. I don't like all of them.
Yeah.
Lex and I have been critical of them throughout, you know, we've been on the air through them all. The Disney live action remakes, I don't always consider it just a cash grab. I know Wall Street and critics will say that. Some of them, I think, have been worthy, and I get why they want to do it. I liked the live action Cinderella. Jungle Book, Jon Favreau's live action Jungle Book, I challenge anyone to watch that and tell me that it's just a cash grab. That was just a good damn movie. That was a great movie. And you guys, I've said it many times how I feel about Little Mermaid. Mm-hmm. I know it got crapped on unnecessarily, but I think I've watched it 3 or 4 times. I had my mom over to watch. I love that movie, the live action. So I'm so glad you said that, Holly. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Love to have a new spin, new interpretation on the music, on the storytelling. How does it speak to audiences now? Because I'm not the audience for Disney live action reboots, but that's okay. There are many other audiences, and I wait to be delighted. There might be a Disney live action reboot that is just a wonderful interpretation of a story. So that they're doing this with the Harry Potter series, it's like, yeah, go on with yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'm getting yes. Late next year. You said, Holly, late next year.
Late next year, late 2025 is when this audiobook series will start to drop.
I love when they tease something. It's like a teaser for the teaser for the trailer when they do something 2 years down the road. Let's put that in our calendar on Apple. Okay, there we go.
They want wizards and muggles to get all excited.
Yeah, exactly.
And just be ready talking about it.
It's gonna be a big. It's gonna be a big year and a half, 2 years for Harry Potter. The new Harry Potter world's opening at Universal in Orlando.
Oh,
there,
yes,
yeah. Warner is putting in the pipe a lot of Harry Potter stuff. So. We're going to take a break. When we come back, name that TV tune, plus the Dirt Alert, and then WTF, Weekly Trivia Face-Off, Lesbian Edition, powered by Trivia Mafia. We'll be back after these words. Other than the fact that it's just fabulous, there are so many reasons why MSP makes travel stress-free. Hey, it's Jace for MSP. I try to load my commercials when I talk to you about MSP with a few tips. That's what I'm going to do right here, because MSP really does want to make travel a little less stressful. First way they do it, did you know that you can reserve ahead of time your space in the parking ramp? And you can reserve your space in the TSA line. I did that recently at Terminal 2. Oh, it was a breeze. Also, once you get in, here's a new tip, another tip. If you don't pre-arrange your space in line at TSA, when you walk into Terminal 1, look to your left and look to your right. Because the north and south checkpoints for security, the times can differ as up to much as 15 minutes. So easy, stress-free. That's MSP. From ticketing to takeoff, it's the best.